So, Ben, why don't you take it away and give everybody a quick overview?
All right. Hey, everybody. Hopefully you'll be able to hear me okay. First, just wanted to say thanks for everyone jumping on the call. It sounds like we got a big group of outlets and sites here, so we're looking forward to getting some extra additional info out on the game before it ships next week. And I'll keep this overview pretty short. I know we're going to pretty much cover everything, I think, in pretty good detail during the questions. But just to start out, I mean, this is MLB 2K10, obviously. It's coming out next week on March 2nd for Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, Wii, PlayStation 2, PSP, and DS. So there'll be plenty of available platforms. And I know this call is mostly focused on the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 versions. So just to give you a quick background, this is the second year that the game was developed here at Visual Concepts. It had previously been done at Kush Games, and we brought it in-house to our 2K Sports headquarters last year. And 2K9 was certainly a challenging year for us. There was, bringing the game in with a new development team was certainly tricky, and we had a lot of things that we wanted to do that we just weren't able to get to, and we were all learning a new code base. So, we were excited to get started with 2K10 and really try to tackle some of the things that we had to leave on the table last year and, add some of the things that people had been asking about and wanted us to do for 2K9. So we think 2K10 has come a long way. We've made some huge gameplay changes that have made a really big difference, and I think the game is a lot of fun this year. We have a My Player mode, which allows you to play through the career of an individual player, and that was certainly a big weakness for us last year, not having that. So it's huge for us to be able to add that for 2K10. We have an MLB Today feature that is really kind of a different way to play the game, and we'll talk about that some more later. But I think that's it for now. I'll just leave it at that and let Chase start with the questions.
So, Ben, what was the biggest obstacle you faced when developing MLB 2K10?
I think I actually probably touched on that just a little bit in the intro there, but I think the toughest thing for us was just trying to, come back from 2K9 and really get going with 2K10 with a full development cycle. With 2K9, it was a little bit shortened, and so it was tough for us to be able to do everything we wanted to do. And with 2K10, we sort of felt like we had everything ready to go and more under our control, so we were really happy to be able to just have a full cycle and do a lot of the things that we wanted to do. So I think the biggest thing for us was just sort of hitting the ground running from 2K9 and doing everything we could to make 2K10 the best game possible.
So how do you figure out how to make the game feel different year after year outside of roster variation?
That's certainly a big thing for us every year, I think, with all of our titles. We really try to sit down, after each game completes and, figure out, what were some areas that we weren't able to do with the previous game or we weren't able to tackle that we wanted to. It's certainly really important for us to listen to, what the consumers have to say. We read all sorts of message boards. We read all the reviews. And, we want to know what people liked and didn't like. And, a lot of times there'll be specific areas that it's clear that we need to target for the next year's game. So I think that's a big thing for us. And there's always things that we want to do from year to year that we just don't have time to. So those are things that come up in our discussions when we're starting to plan for the next year, too.
So how much of 2K9 was used in 2K10? And this is a question for Sean. And was the game rebuilt from the ground up or for the new release?
Yeah, we completely rewrote everything from fielding, hitting, pitching, the physics, the AI, camera views, swapped out all the animations. Over 200 animations just for infielders alone went in. We had a lot of work ahead of us because I don't think any of us were happy with last year, nor should we have been. So rather than just trying to touch up last year's game and fix the things that bother people, we just made sure that the new game included all the fixes that frustrated people, as well as the new rewritten game. So it's everything from the ground up is different, new, and improved.
So do you use the input of regular gamers to determine what to change for future games, or do you only rely on professional reviews? If the former, how do you determine what to change, like browse boards, polls, surveys, etc.?
We take it all in. I mean, we don't want to exclude anyone. If someone's a gamer, someone likes sports games, we have to listen. So we do browse the boards. We do look at polls and surveys. We talk to people on the outside. We play other games, friends, professional reviewers, anyone that can buy a video game, we're going to listen to. Anyone that likes sports, we're going to listen to. As far as determining what to change, that really comes down to, our bang for our buck. This year, we spent the summer rewriting all the physics, and that gave us a lot cooler, mini game with the battle at the plate, pitching and hitting. So it starts with gameplay. It starts with finding the balance between the fun factor and the sim side, and that's kind of how we prioritize our changes. But we take in all feedback.
Cool. Hey, Ben, this is for you. How did you come to the decision to put Evan Longoria on the cover this year? Do you vote? What was the process in the past? Have any players ever campaigned themselves to you trying to get on the cover?
Yeah, that's kind of a fun question. I mean, this is something we kind of do in conjunction with our marketing team here. And one of the biggest things for us we found, I think in recent years especially, is to try to get someone on the cover, not only who's a great player, obviously, but someone who is a gamer and who is really interested in the development process. And, you know, having a guy like Longoria, you know, obviously he's a young up-and-comer, and he's one of the stars in Major League Baseball, but he's also, you know, a big-time gamer, and he was really interested to kind of find out what it went into making the game and talking to us about various features we were doing and, you know, what his takes were on certain things in the game from, you know, the biggest thing for us, you know, like Sean touched on was the pitcher-hitter battle, so we definitely got some input from him on that. So really the biggest thing for us is just trying to talk, you know, amongst the development team and our marketing group to figure out who best fits that bill, and for this year it was Longoria.
So this is a question for Sean. Clearly there's some other competitors in the space. What separates MLB 2K10 from other baseball games out in the market?
There's actually a lot of things that separate MLB 2K10 from the other games in the market. The battle, the play experience, and the realism of pitching and hitting is the obvious one. But then it's the smallest things like in the My Player Career mode, you know how far away you are from getting called up or what else you have to do. You know, where's the show? You're not really sure when you're getting called up. So it's small things such as feedback, the pitch analyzer, and the swing analyzer, which you'll have a better understanding of when the game comes out. We really show you, you know, what you did right or wrong in subtle ways if you want to see that. So we're providing lots of feedback, but what stands out to me is definitely the balance of play. Pitchers versus hitters, the AI and the physics, the animations, and the results that come from it are a lot of fun, really cool, very realistic. I don't think I get that from any other game.
So, Ben, how has the visual concept expertise with the NBA and NHL franchise assisted with the development of the MLB series? Does MLB 2K10 have the same sort of dynamic commentary that NBA 2K10 does?
I think that's huge. I mean, having NHL, NBA, and MLB all done in-house here at Visual Concepts has really been great in terms of being able to share resources. So, you know, we want you to have sort of a common thread when you play any of the 2K sports titles. You know, whether it's just the interface or, you know, you'll see things, you know, similar in My Player mode in MLB that you did in NBA. And then to answer the last question there, we do have an MLB Today feature, which it sounds like that the question was kind of getting towards. I know there's some more coming up later on, so I won't go into huge detail, but we do have the same sort of dynamic commentary that we did in MLB 2K10, or that we did in NBA 2K10. And you know, having that system in place previously made it a little bit easier to get it into MLB this year. So it definitely makes a big difference for us to be able to kind of get all of our games on the same page and sharing similar features.
So Jonathan, who is this year's highest rated player? Do any factors such as postseason glory go into determining those, or is it simply based on the previous year's numbers?
So the highest rated player in this year's game is Albert Pujols. It's all really stat-based. What we do is we take the stats for the last 3 years, and we have a weight system based on the most recent year, and then we sort of figure out the ratings based on that. So it's mostly stat-based, but it's also based on common perception of a player, or like if there's a minor league player who has he's only had like 20 at-bats or something like that, where we don't have enough data, then we have to do research and sort of figure out what kind of player he is and what's the common perception of that player.
So do you ever get any friendly or unfriendly ribbing from players regarding their ratings in the game?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, players will write us emails, and they'll contact our marketing team, and they'll say, hey, how come I'm not better in the game? You know, and it's, you know, constantly players are complaining to us about the ratings. But for the most part, I think most players are pretty happy with their ratings, and they think that we're grading them fairly.
Okay. So, Ben, 2K has maintained a firm control over the number of available baseball games on the Xbox 360 platform. Does this encourage Visual Concepts to provide the definitive baseball game for the platform?
I guess the easy answer to that is yes, but to follow up, I mean, we don't want to be the definitive game just on Xbox 360. We want our game to be the definitive game across all platforms. So You know, it doesn't mean we're putting extra focus on 360 and ignoring the other consoles. So we really just want to make the best baseball game we can, regardless of platform.
So, and this is also for you, Ben, how will MLB 2K take advantage of online features this year? Is there any downloadable content planned for the game, perhaps further updates in included player rosters and stats to complement the MLB Today integration?
We don't have downloadable content outside of roster updates planned right now. That's something we may have some more details on in the future if we end up doing something there. In regards to the features in general, a couple of the new bigger additions, I think we may talk about this more a little bit later too, but one of the things that you may have seen in our previous 2K10 titles is just trying to break down that online and offline wall. We want online to be accessible in any mode of play, and one of the biggest areas for that is certainly franchise mode. So now you can play your franchise mode games online against your friends. And you know, of course, we still have Home Run Derby you can play online. We still have trading card teams you can play online. We still have full online leagues with up to 30 teams playing a full 162-game schedule. So that's huge for us, too. And then, of course, there's MLB Today, which I think you also mentioned. And part of that is keeping the rosters as up-to-date as we can and making sure that, you know, basically every day we're going in and looking to see what the teams have done to change, you know, their pitching rotations, their batting lineups, what players have been called up and sent down, what types of injuries have occurred. And so with MLB Today, you're going to be getting all of that info basically every day you turn on your system and play your game.
So in some of your previews, you've noted that you're tearing down some of the walls between online and offline mode. Does this mean you'll have support for drop-in, drop-out, friendly players and opponents during the course of the game, or simply in the lobby before a game starts?
It's not actually drop-in and drop-out to where you can jump in and play a game that I'm, you know, in the fourth or fifth inning. So it's something you have to start from the beginning. But the biggest thing for us in that, you know, that whole idea of tearing down the walls was just to make online play easily accessible wherever you are in the game. So basically whenever you're on a team select screen, and again, this is something you may be familiar with if you played NBA 2K10 or NHL 2K10, but if you're on the team select screen, you know, just with the click of a button, you can jump to your friends list and invite someone to join you for that game.
So what is the maximum number of players able to play in a game at that same time?
Right now for MLB, it's just one-on-one.
And here's a question for Jonathan. What new additions were made to the franchise mode? How wide of a range of options are available to the player now?
So for franchise mode, we're really excited about the new additions that we've added this year. The biggest new addition is the 40-man rosters. So now your rosters can grow in September as it would naturally. We also added that the draft happens in the middle of the year. Another big addition is the trade finder, which you can essentially put any player out on a trade block, so you other AI teams can make you offers for that player, so you can sort of see what you can get. So the trade finder, and in addition to that, we have compensatory picks for like free agents. And so in the off season, when you're trying to sign a player, you might risk losing a first or second round draft pick. And if you lose a high rated player, you will also get compensatory picks for that player. So there's a lot of bug fixing and improvements that we've made in franchise mode, but those are the big features along with Super Sim, which we're really excited about. Basically, you can go into any game and simulate at-bat to at-bat, half an inning or an inning, and you can just go right to the end of the game if you're in a blowout, or you just want to, you know, you just want to basically, you're playing a team that you know you could beat, so you feel comfortable with just simulating that game. You can simulate to the end of the game, and if the results aren't to your liking, you can just jump into at any point of the game and just jump right in and take over from there. And that mode, actually the Super Sim feature, is available in all of our modes.
So here's a question for Sean. Since gamers and industry critics have noted early iterations of the MLB series have struggled with technical issues surrounding pitching, hitting, gameplay, was this a primary focus of improvement with 2K10?
Yeah, it's almost an understatement to call it a primary focus of improvement, because we didn't just want to improve it. We wanted to nail it. We knew that the core gameplay experience needed improvements across the board. But when it came to pitching and hitting, we really went beyond just focusing on improving it. We created an entirely new experience, which I think we'll get into it in a little bit, but starting with the camera closer in on the pitcher, different strike zone, different cursor, different swing types, different analyzers and replay systems. The physics were all rewritten, and it's all in a learnable, deterministic way where, you know, every win and every fail is a one-to-one relationship to something you did. Nothing's random. So I guess to answer the question, you know, it's a huge primary focus of improvement, and I'm really proud of the guys for what they did in pitching and hitting this year.
Good, because we got a whole list of pitching questions coming up, and I'm sure some answers will overlap. So first off, these are a bunch for you, Sean. A lot of the new features seem to be geared towards the hitter. What steps have been taken to help out pitchers? Or do you feel that the batters needed the extra help to better balance the batter-pitcher duel from previous games in the series?
Well, we really just wanted to captivate a realistic experience. We weren't trying to make, you know, pitchers better than hitters or vice versa, or even look at anything, you know, in last year's balance between that. We really just talked to a lot of pitchers and just kind of tried to make it as realistic as possible. So there have been, you know, steps geared towards making the hitter better, different swing types, defensive swings and the, you know, the eye rating to see what pitch is coming. But as far as pitchers go, the pitch analyzer helps a lot. You don't have to use it, but if you X after a pitch, it brings up this analyzer that shows you exactly what you did right or wrong, how that affected the break of the ball, the miles per hour of the ball, the percentage of the meter that you expanded. So we're not helping out pitchers as much as we're helping out the gamer who's controlling the pitcher. So the analyzer, you really learn from mistakes and learn what you did right real easy from that. But in addition to that, we just want the players to play like their real-life counterparts. Only so many guys play and pitch complete games. So, you know, we have the meter speeding up. Our pitch count matters a lot this year. So we weren't necessarily trying to help out pitchers as much as we were trying to create a realistic challenge for pitchers.
Okay, here's a pitching question for Jonathan, which probably touches upon what you were saying. Pitching was simplified in 2K9 as compared to 2K8. What was the aim for this year's tweaks to pitching? Was it more simplified or more robust?
Well, we wanted to build on the simplified version, which we had on 2K9. And, you know, by allowing you to sort of pick the pitch that you're going to attempt to throw, it certainly makes it easier for us to determine what pitch you're trying to throw so that you'll never run into a situation where you're trying to throw a slider and then you accidentally throw the curveball or something like that. Now that you have to pick the pitch, you know what pitch. We know what pitch you're trying to throw, so now we can do a lot more with your gesture. So, like as Sean was saying, it's a lot more deterministic. You know, we can move it left or right depending on what pitch it is, or up or down. Like if it's a curveball and if you over rotate your curveball, it'll move downward. And if you under rotate your curveball, then you'll essentially hang a curveball. So we can do a lot more with your gestures this year. But as far as the controls, we stayed more to a simplified control rather than MLB 2K's really complex controls.
So here's another question for you, Jonathan, about stealing bases. Stealing bases in MLB 2K9 seem nearly impossible. Take a two-step lead and you're gunned down every time. Take a three-step lead and the pitcher throws over to first. Why has it been so difficult for baseball titles in general to find a happy medium with the pitcher-base runner dynamic?
Well, you know, as I'm sure this question underlines that it wasn't just MLB 2K9, but in general, tuning base stealing is one of the toughest things to do in a baseball game, no matter what company is making a baseball game. It's because there's so many different elements. There's how big of a lead do you have? What's the pitcher's pickoff move? How quickly does the pitcher deliver the ball to home plate? What's the catcher's arm strength? You know, how slow is the pitch? You know, is it a changeup or a fastball or a curveball? So there's so many different elements to tuning base stealing that a lot of times games just make the mistake and it ends up being either way too easy or way too hard. So that's something that we spend a lot of time working on this year and sort of tuning it so that it is possible to steal bases against the AI and and likewise throwing the AI out, and that was another tough thing in MLB 2K9. So it's something that we're continuing to improve on. It's just a matter of getting more tuning time and sort of taking in all the variables and just trying to, you know, basically tune for the most common cases.
So here's some questions going on into the hitting side of things, and Sean could field a bunch of these. Sean, has there been improvement to the hitting component of the game aside from defensive swings? It has either been too easy or too hard to make solid contact, as the very good hitters would almost always turn a fastball into a sure home run, and the average player could barely get the ball out of the infield.
Well, that's a good question. Those are great points, because typically it has been out of balance in the past. And aside from defensive swing, what we did to the hitting was we made it all about the tie-in. Now, the days are gone where you just hold influence stick and just paint where you want the ball to go on every swing. Like, it may influence it in a subtle way, but, you know, when I play, I actually don't even use it. It's just all about timing, which is very satisfying. The ball's hit with more velocity in real life for the ones that are pulled, and the ones that, you know, a right-handed batter sends down the first baseline weaker are late swings going opposite field. So the physics behind the swing timing was done in a very realistic way that takes care of a lot of the complaints of the past. As far as the home run derby or not, we really scaled that back. Last year, people just held up, and they swung for the fences with every power hitter. If you do that now, you're basically sack flying all the time. It's just about your timing. You know, a guy like Ryan Howard has a bigger sweet spot when he power swings, but he's going to strike out more. So we're very happy with the balance. It's not going to be an issue where average players can't get out of the infield and the big guys smash out of the park. It's really about your timing, and the player ratings drive the likelihood of you hitting that sweet spot.
Okay, this next question actually references you, Sean, so I think you'd be perfect to answer it. Producer Sean Bailey talks about players like Todd Helton using a defensive swing to lengthen at-bats and temporarily wear a pitcher down. Will MLB 2K10 have something that mirrors this real-life situation in a single at-bat or inning, or is the overall pitch count and pitcher fatigue the only effect of longer at-bats?
So, guys will wear you down. A guy like Todd Helton, if I'm trying to pitch a complete game, guys like him make it tough for guys like Abreu, guys like Euglip, because they use the defensive swing a lot. The AI uses the swing types that the guys in real life use. So those guys do wear you down and increase your pitch count. And, you know, your meter will start speeding up, and your gesture targets will start shrinking. And that's when you got to get the manager out there for a mound visit. And the mound visit this year is more interactive. You can choose a composure-related mound visit or stamina-related just to kind of burn some time with the manager, get a quick breather. So those kind of hitters do wear you down. And then we also do have an overall pitch count that wears you down over the course of a game.
Well, I would like to jump in and add something a little more to that. The question is sort of asking in addition, like, is there anything else that mirrors real life? Another thing that, you know, it's kind of like an underlining thing with this question, with this feature, is that just like in real life, as you force a pitcher to throw you 8 or 9 pitches, the pitcher gets kind of frustrated and feels like, oh my God, I've already shown him all my pitches, you know. So when you're facing that hitter, you sort of feel like there's nothing that he's seen that I can surprise him with. So you're more likely to, like, even on a two-player game, it's sort of a mental game that just adds to the overall fun factor, where you're like, well, I threw my fastball, my changeup, my curveball, and he hit them all foul. So now, how am I going to try to fool him? And you sort of tend to overthink yourself. So that's kind of like another part of a game within the game that I really like.
So what are, and this is for Sean, what are the characteristics of the new defensive swing feature? Does it make it easier to hit the ball but harder to put it into play?
Yeah, the way I like to say it is your contact swing is your base swing, power is your high risk, high reward, defense is your low reward. You can hit it into play, you can even whiff and miss it completely, but when you use it, you're just trying to stay alive to see a better looking pitch that you want to take. It's all about where that ball's thrown and your timing. You do make contact. That's the swing that I would use if I had to make contact with something. And it's they're weaker hits, more bloopers when they are hit into play, usually ground out. So we found a good balance of defensive swing.
So here's another one for you, Sean. What determines whether or not the batter's eye feature appears? Is it purely based on a hitter's real-world skills, or are there other factors involved, such as the pitcher's skills? How often can gamers expect to see batter's eye appear in a typical game?
When this originally came up, the problem we were trying to solve is we were trying to make certain players better in the video game that were good in real life about reaching base and getting walks, but didn't have that skill set in our video game. So what we did is we came up with an eye rating, versus lefties, eye rating versus righties. And the batter's eye rating drives the frequency of the batter's eye. So the guys that take a lot of walks, they have very high eye ratings, and they're going to see the batter's eye more often, where it's going with the pitch type. It also helps with their hit timing. But we really, what we wanted to do was figure out a way. It was really easy to make Crawford good at what he does, really easy to make Pujols good at what he does. But for other guys that are just patient and reach base, we needed a way to captivate that, and that's what batter's eye does.
Okay, cool. So let's go into some questions on fielding, and here's one for Jonathan.
Okay.
Many times the players out on the field kind of just stand around like little kids who aren't involved in the game or just sort of stupidly stand there when they should be making an effort to throw a guy out at the plate. Is that part of the fielding AI improved over the past versions?
Yes, I mean, absolutely. I mean, the fielding AI has been completely rewritten, and you know, that's something that we focus a lot on, is making the players move intelligently to positions and making sure that they're throwing to the right base or whatever, and that they're not running into each other. You know, the guys are aware of each other on the field, so that if one guy's going to trigger an animation, catching animation, you don't have another guy running into the picture and triggering also a catching animation. So that's something that, you know, we definitely work a lot in the fielding AI and rewriting all that and just sort of making it, you know, improving all these cases where it just that makes the AI look stupid, basically.
Okay, and this next question also for you, Jonathan, is along the same lines. What are some of the considerations that went into the fielding changes? I know there are some significant differences with the camera angles and outfielding controls. What will the learning curve be like with this new fielding system?
Well, I mean, the biggest new the learning curve with the new fielding system is that the ability to preload a throw. So now, unlike previous years, you can start pressing the throw button before your fielder has gathered the ball, and that will trigger quicker animations that have both the gather and the throw in the same animation. So just sort of learning how to play the game differently and sort of playing the game, anticipating what you're going to do and sort of thinking one step ahead is going to probably be the biggest learning curve. And I think it's also a good thing. I think it's sort of, you know, it keeps the basic fundamental fielding accessible for new users, but users that play a lot and like to anticipate a lot, it sort of feels like you get a step up. You know, it's a lot more fun, and I enjoy the fielding system in this year's game.
Cool. And so there's been a couple mentions to the My Player feature, so I'm going to have Ben address some questions along those lines. First off, why did you add the My Player feature in this year's game?
Well, you know, it really seems like across the board in all sports titles that are out there now, career modes in general are just becoming, a popular thing and something that people are expecting to see. So, you know, it was a big focus for us to be able to add a mode like that this year. You know, it was something we wanted to do last year, we just didn't have time to. So kind of a lot of our early build-up and planning from last year went into making this year's version. And kind of at the same time, we had NBA 2K10 come out with their My Player mode, and so that was kind of a basis for what we did too. So, we really felt like it was a hole that we needed to fill with 2K9, so it was important for us to make sure that we had a really fun, solid mode where you could control a single player for 2K10.
So what makes it different from most rookie to legend career modes and other sports games?
I think there's a couple key things here. One of the big things we wanted to do is to really give you a much clearer gauge of your progress. So we wanted you to know basically where you're at, in the beginning at least, where you're at in terms of being called up to the majors. So we actually have an MLB ETA meter that is showing you how close you are to being ready for the majors. And there's actually a specific set of goals that you need to try to meet in order to get called up. So you always know where you're at in terms of what else you need to try and do and try to focus on in order to get called up to the majors. And then when you do make it up to the majors, that focus sort of shifts now to making the Hall of Fame. So there's actually an end goal, which is really cool, and that your player is trying to make the Hall of Fame. And again, we wanted to really make it clear to you as to how close you were to doing that. So again, you have a full list of various goals to try and meet in order to qualify for the Hall of Fame, and they vary from, you know, individual stat goals to team goals, like making the playoffs and winning the World Series. So there's a wide variety of goals that will really help, I think, sort of make the experience interesting as you go. But again, I think a really key thing was just letting you know where you're at.
Cool. And so, let's see. Will we be dealing with elements of Major League career that occur outside the lines, like advertising deals and contract negotiations, or is it all about in-game performance? And along those lines, how will player ratings improve over time, and what will dictate when players will be able to advance in their careers? One example being the jump from the minors to the majors.
Well, for this year, the focus was definitely more on the in-game performance. So, you know, you're definitely focused on what your player is doing in the game, as opposed to things like, you know, advertising deals and contracts and things like that. In terms of the player ratings improving, yeah, I kind of mentioned that previously, in that we have a set of goals basically, you know, sitting right there for you to help determine when you're going to be able to jump up from the minors to the majors. But, you know, the other cool thing, too, is that it's really up to you. You know, you get various skill points, and one cool thing for MLB is that we've split it up into three different areas. So you get batting skill points, you get fielding skill points, and you get base running skill points. But it's up to you to choose which attributes you want to put that into. So if you want to, you know, make your player's eye rating really good so you can see what type of pitches are coming, you know, much like Sean had talked about previously, you can do that. If you want to make your player a pure power hitter, you can throw all of your batting points into your power rating. If you want to be a speed demon, you can focus a lot on just speed with your base running skill points. So, you know, it's really up to you in terms of how you want to evolve your player and what type of a player you want to turn him into.
So, and this is pretty subjective, but in my player mode, can you give an estimate on how long it will take to advance into the majors?
Yeah, you know, that can really vary. There's so much flexibility you can do, and this is something else I think that I didn't mention before that I think helps make the mode stand out, but you have a lot of flexibility in terms of how you want to play the game. So when you actually do play a game, you're just playing the moments that your player is directly involved in. So, you know, one thing that's great is you can get through a game a lot quicker than you could, say, you know, a basketball game. You know, you can play through a game in 5 or 10 minutes, basically depending on how often you get on base and how many fielding situations you end up with. So, you know, that's definitely a nice thing. And you can also simulate games entirely. And you're not going to earn as many skill points via simulation, but, you know, if you want to just kind of build up a base for you to start adding to your player's attributes, you can sim some games and do that. So, you know, if you end up simming, it might take you a little bit longer, but if you do really well and you end up playing all of the games, you could get called to the majors, you know, and as soon as something like 15 or 20 games.
So this here's a question for Jonathan regarding acrobatic plays. Acrobatic plays seem to be the norm in previous MLB 2K games. Has that changed to be more realistic in MLB 2K10?
Yeah, I mean, we added hundreds of new fielding animations to this year's game. And a lot of the new ones that we added are what we call casual plays. We felt like the game overall was too high pace, basically. It was just too high energy, and everybody, in real life, a lot of players kind of like jog around, and, you know, they're not going to fire the ball in if they don't need to. So we added a lot of new casual animations to sort of help out with that, with those cases.
So here's a question for Ben. Frame rate and online lag was a big issue for last year's title. What was done to fix these issues for the upcoming game? Are you confident that the bulk of the AI problems have been stamped out?
Yeah, that's kind of two different questions. But the first part of it, in regards to frame rate and lag, you know, that was something that was certainly important for us. We knew that there was room for improvement after 2K9, and so we definitely made sure that we got the frame rate up to an acceptable level, because that's, you know, a huge part of making the experience good and making you feel like, you know, you're in full control. You know, anytime you get a little bit of lag or the frame rate drops, it can take away some of that control from you. So it was certainly important for us to try to make sure that, you know, we were as optimized there as we could be. And kind of the second part, you know, I think Sean and Jonathan have really touched on this a lot, but, you know, we spent a ton of time on AI tuning and refinement this year, and that was one of, I think, the biggest benefits of just having the full development cycle. We really felt like we had a lot of additional time this year. And we also, I think, carved out some time in the schedule just to make sure that we did. But we spent a lot of time working on the AI and just trying to make it as realistic a game as possible. And that was a luxury we didn't have in a lot of cases last year.
So let's move on to the MLB Today feature. This is also for you, Ben. How difficult was it to create the MLB Today feature and implement it into the game, keeping the real-world authenticity while adding a personalized user experience to the game?
Yeah, I don't know if difficult is quite the right word. It's certainly a big undertaking, and it was challenging, but, you know, it was certainly also helpful that NBA 2K10 had their NBA Today feature in their game, so we were able to sort of take that as a basis and, you know, move over a lot of what they did into MLB. And I think it makes a huge difference. I mean, it's a totally different style of play, and one thing that I think is really neat is that, you know, if you're kind of out of the loop for a couple days and then you wake up, you know, the next morning and you pop in MLB 2K10, you can play games via MLB Today and kind of get up to date with what's going on in the majors, because we're going to have those rosters updated with the batting lineups and, you know, with the stats and the pitching rotations and everything that's been happening in real life, and the commentary will then reflect that. So, you know, if there's been a cool event that's happened lately, like if, you know, if your favorite team just came off of a sweep in their last game and you're playing with them, the commentators will mention things like that. So you'll actually be seeing and hearing, you know, via overlays and the commentary, what's been happening in the majors. So it's really kind of a neat way, and it's a little bit different from playing just a standard quick game.
So is there any thought of using the MLB Today feature for franchise play, meaning everything is synced with the real MLB, like pitcher matchups, lineups, trades, etc., and the player would follow along with the season but decided the outcome of each game on his own?
That's kind of a tricky thing. You know, it's something that we've certainly talked about, but, you know, in the end, I think it kind of ends up breaking down in that, you know, you're wanting to play through your franchise, and, you know, you're going to want to do things like make trades and do other things that are just going to end up diverging it too far from real life. So I think that type of thing would be tough, but the thing that we have done that I think is very similar to that is basically all of that dynamic commentary is happening in your franchise as well. So if you're, you know, 80 or 90 games in, the commentary and the overlays are all going to reflect things that have been happening previously in that season. So, you know, if one of your players is challenging for the home run title, or, you know, if one of your teams is on a really big winning streak, you'll start to hear those kinds of things in the commentary. So, well, it may not be the same as what's happening in real life, and that's, you know, going to happen separately via the MLB Today mode itself. In your franchise, though, you will be staying up to date with everything that's going on in your franchise with the commentary and the overlays and all the other presentation.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about the $1 million contest. You know, could you give us some more details? This is for you, Ben. If you can give us some more details on the contest, that would be great.
Yeah, we're really excited about this. I mean, it's a really cool idea, and, you know, I think a lot of it sort of came from the fact that pitching in the game has really changed a lot this year, and I think, you know, for myself, and I think I can speak for a lot of others on the team here, it's actually much more fun than it's ever been. And, you know, a lot of times in previous games, I would just kind of want to skip through the pitching and get back to the hitting, but with this year, there's so much more control and so much more going on that it really is another exciting part of the game. And, you know, kind of the ultimate feat of the pitcher is to throw a perfect game. And so it really kind of made sense to say, okay, you know, pitching has totally changed. It's a fun and different new system this year. So what's something that we can do to have people, you know, take their experience on the pitching side and actually end up winning something cool? And so, you know, we ended up coming up with this idea for winning $1 million. And, you know, I can't think of a cooler prize than that. I mean, that's a huge amount of money. So we're actually pretty excited to see, you know, how this shakes out. And you know, we're looking forward to seeing somebody win that money.
Cool. And for those who don't know, to get that money, you've got to pitch a perfect game. And so your marketing department seems pretty confident about the whole throw a perfect game, win $1 million contest. Do you guys expect anyone to do it before the deadline? Any new changes or features you would like to point out on why this will be very difficult? Ben?
I think we definitely do expect someone to win it. I mean, it's a feat that's going to be hard to do, but it's not impossible to the point where no one's going to pull it off. So it's going to happen. It may not happen right away, but I think it's going to happen sooner or later, and certainly before the deadline happens. One thing that's kind of cool, too, is that the demo is already out on Xbox 360, so people can start practicing now. So that's definitely a good way to sort of get a jump on it and get used to the way, you know, the pitching mechanic works, and just get a little practice under your belt. But one thing to note, too, you know, you asked about changes or features that will make this difficult. I think one of the things that Sean and John have touched on previously with the pitching is that pitch count and fatigue definitely play a bigger role in this year's game. And so, you know, you may be 5, 6, 7 innings deep into a perfect game, but as your pitcher starts to tire, the pitching mechanic is going to change a little bit, and the windows you have and your timing is going to be thrown off just a little bit as your player starts to tire. So, you know, you really have to sort of change up the way your motions work and sort of relearn the timing as your player gets more tired. So, you know, if you think you're doing awesome in the first few innings, that's not necessarily going to be the case later on. So it's definitely something that's going to create, I think, a lot of exciting and fun, even tense, dramatic games.
Here's a question for you, Sean. So in your best estimations, how long do you think it'll take for someone to go 27 up, 27 down?
That's a good question. My best answer, sort of touching on what Ben said, I think that if somebody gets their hands on the demo and really gets the feel of pitching down, they're going to have a head start. I don't know how soon it'll happen. My personal opinion is that, you know, John Rivera sitting next to me, he doesn't like this answer, but, you know, Felix Hernandez coming to Oakland to face the batless A's, that will be today. That's got to be a great $1 million opportunity.
Oh, wait, it's crappy. They take a lot of walks.
Yeah, well, I just feel like Felix is going to mow down the A's. So that first game of the year for those two teams, that could be a $1 million prize right there, because it's going to come down to the matchup. It comes from MLB Today, so you can't just say, all right, I'm doing Lincecum coming against the Nationals 1,000 times until it happens. You got to go off MLB Today. So I think that Felix coming to Oakland, it could happen right there. That's my gut feeling.
So let's go into some gameplay experience questions, and this is for you, Ben. Well, this is kind of a softball. Will players who enjoyed MLB 2K9 enjoy the changes in MLB 2K10?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a pretty broad question, but I think certainly. I mean, I think the game has improved in leaps and bounds this year. I mean, it's a totally different experience. It's a lot more fun than I've ever had playing a baseball game, and I'm excited to see what people have to think. But at the same time, you know, a lot of the mechanics are similar to what you saw in 2K9. Like, I know the guys have talked about with the pitching. You know, the actual mechanics haven't changed too much. So if you play 2K9, you're going to be reasonably familiar with the way it works in 2K10. So I think, you know, certainly if you liked the game last year, there's no reason you're not going to be excited to see what we've got to offer for 2K10.
So here's another question for you, Ben. What are the chances of a full 9-versus-9 game with each player taking their own position?
Yeah, you know, that's not something you're doing this year for sure. And, you know, that's certainly something to consider in the future, you know, moving down the road. But I think it's a little bit different with baseball as opposed to basketball or even hockey, whereas, you know, in baseball, if you're not pitching or the batter, there's not much going on. Whereas with, you know, hockey or basketball, you still are worried about your positioning and playing defense and, you know, if you're going to get a pass sent to you. Whereas with baseball, a lot of times you might just end up standing there. And I think that's probably one of the bigger reasons where with baseball we focus more on that one-on-one matchup as opposed to having everyone out there at once. But, you know, still that said, it's certainly something that we may look towards down the road.
Here's a question for Sean regarding the ability to edit players. Is there a cap on how many you can edit?
Nope, no cap.
Okay. And I got a bunch of miscellaneous questions here. This is another one. This one for Jonathan. For someone like myself who is unwavering in his resolution to play using only my hometown team, in this case, the Pittsburgh Pirates, what do I have to look forward to?
Well, you have to look forward to one of the best up-and-coming players and one of the most fun players to use in our game, and Andrew McCutchen. I mean, the Pirates have a lot of players that are, you know, good contact hitters and that are fun to play with. Sean and I played a game a month ago, and I played as the Pirates, and Ryan Domet went nuts, and he just had a great game. You know, the one thing to look forward to, and this would be great for my player, if you want to play as the Pittsburgh Pirates, is to shore up that bullpen, because their bullpen needs a lot of help. So maybe I create a closer in my player and try to help out the Pirates that way.
And don't trade McCutchen. He's the man.
So, Ben, last year's MLB front office manager brought a deeper amount of detail to what you'd see in a regular title's franchise mode. Will any of those additions, items like the Rule 5 draft, salary arbitration, compensatory picks, et cetera, be integrated in MLB 2K10?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question. I think Jonathan touched on that a little bit previously when he was talking about some of the additions to franchise mode. And we certainly didn't want to forget about people who want to play a franchise as opposed to my player. I know my player is kind of the new mode this year that people are excited about, but we definitely wanted to make the franchise experience still something that people would enjoy. So some of the things that we did add, you know, I think John mentioned the different types of free agents and compensatory picks that are involved with that. We have a 40-man roster this year, including the ability to play spring training games and sort of try out all your different players. And then the ability to have September call-ups to bring the roster back up to 40 at that point. We have rehab assignments, and you can actually even play your minor league games and go down and play with your player when he's in a rehab assignment. So there's still, I think, a lot of, you know, the more hardcore in-depth type features for franchise mode. You know, in one sense, we didn't want to make it too overwhelming and too difficult, so a lot of this stuff can even, you know, just be taken over by the CPU if you don't want to deal with it. But at the same time, we wanted to make sure that we added some of those extra things to make the fans who are really into the micromanaging happy.
Okay. Here's a produce question for Sean. Will the apple in Citi Field finally go up after home runs this year?
So we added all the home run traditions, celebrations, and animations, except for Bernie Brewer, so yes.
And here's a question for Ben. 2K Sports is known for their amazing soundtracks. What kind of music can we look forward to in hearing in MLB 2K10?
Yeah, you can actually, I won't read the full list. You can actually go to 2ksports.com and check out the entire list if you want. But we've got some pretty cool bands this year. Just to give you a few, you know, we've got Jet, Iggy Pop, Black Crowes, Pearl Jam, Social Distortion, The Sugar Hill Gang, And we even have a song by Tantric, which was chosen by Evan Longoria, our cover athlete, because he actually uses that particular song for his music when he comes up to bat.
So, Jonathan, will we see legendary players' uniforms and stadiums in the game?
We do have legendary players like Yogi Berra and Tom Seaver, Nolan Ryan, those kind of players. So there's a lot of this. There's a couple of classic AL and NL teams, and we have a lot of throwback uniforms. I love the A's old uniforms. I play with them every time Sean and I have a Bay Area battle. We go throwback A's Giants. We don't have any throwback stadiums, though.
Cool. This is for Jonathan. Do you see the Mariners overtaking the Angels in the AL West?
Absolutely.
All right. Actually, here's a question for Robert Emmerich. I'm going to let him ask it. So let me take it off, and it's going to be noisy as we hear everybody's cell phones. Robert, you there?
Yes. If you had 30 seconds to convince a PS3 owner to buy 2K10 instead of the show, what would you tell them?
Yeah, sure. And you know, Sean or John can probably chime in on this as well. But, you know, I think MLB 2K10 offers a different experience. The game has been totally revamped. So if you played 2K9 and you weren't really thrilled with it, and you know, I think it's definitely worth giving 2K10 a shot. I know the show is a good game, and you know they're certainly still making that, and that's still available. But I think our My Player experience is very different than what they do with their road to the show. But I think the biggest thing, just long term, is that the gameplay has really been revamped. It's a lot more fun. It's a lot more realistic, I think, in terms of you know, the outcomes you're going to see, and I think there's some difference too, just in the controls. I think you'll feel like you have a little bit more control over things that are going on with you know, with both pitching and batting, and you know, they're definitely two different games.
Yeah, I mean, I want to add on to that. I think our game just gives you a lot more control. Whether you're pitching or batting or fielding, we just give you a lot of tools, you know, with you know, the new power swings and contact swings and defensive swings. But I think just our gameplay experience is a lot more fun than theirs.
Okay. Scott from Console Sports wants to know, is zone hitting in the game this year, or is it all just timing-based hitting?
Yeah, I think that's a good question for Sean.
Yeah, so we rewrote the hitting, and to rewrite all the physics and make it as realistic as fun as possible, we had to focus on you know, a select set of defaults. So we don't have zone hitting, but the timing is dynamic enough to the point where I don't think we'll miss it.
Okay, so Joseph has a question. He wants to know if you could find out, he wants to know if there's a PC version, and how did last year's response to the PC version go?
Yeah, we're definitely doing a PC version this year. Yeah, I think I might have forgotten to mention that in the list of consoles at the beginning. So we definitely have a PC version this year, too, and you're going to get all of the same features that you get in the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 versions. And I think a lot of the response was similar across the board. There was just a lot of room for improvement for us, and we definitely took a lot of the criticism and the ideas to heart. And so I think the PC SKU, just like the other SKUs, are very much improved, and I think it's taken a big step up, and it's definitely, I think the series in general is headed much more in the right direction, and I think you'll see some big changes on the PC side as well.
And so Joe, who's been flooding me with questions, always welcome, he wants to know, one of his questions is, how has trading cards been changed for 2K10 versus 2K9 and 2K8?
That might be, John, is that something you want to jump in on?
Yeah, I mean, I'll jump in on that. I mean, trading cards, we really like what we did last year. So, I mean, we just sort of wanted to build on that, you know, change the players around, change the cards, and sort of change the way you unlock them a little bit. But it's mostly the same as last year. It's just a feature that we thought we did really well last year, and we just wanted to build on that.
So here's a question from Eric. One issue I had with NBA 2K's My Player mode and online was it wasn't very stable, probably due to all the stuff they wanted to do for that game. What was done to make sure MLB doesn't fall into the same position?
Well, the easy question is, that's an easy question in terms of My Player because it's not online. It just, you know, with baseball, it just doesn't make sense the way it does for basketball. So it's basically not an issue for MLB.
Okay, here's a question from Justin, who's dialed into the right call. I've never played a baseball game in my life. What have you done to make the game fun for someone who doesn't play year to year?
that's the cool thing about this year's game. While the hardcore guys are going to appreciate the depth that the game goes into, anyone can pick it up. I mean, you know, just to test that theory out, I had people play games only doing contact swing, the base swing, flicking up the entire game. And, you know, the buttons are laid out like a baseball diamond. The swing mechanics are straightforward. So it's extremely accessible. We give you a lot of feedback. The base mechanics are simple. But you can get a lot better. You can master this game if you do use all the different scattering reports and use all the different mechanics and swing types. But it is cool seeing anyone just pick it up and be able to use the base swing and take balls. You know, if they don't swing at, you know, balls way outside the strike zone, then they'll be all right.
Okay. Oops. Somebody's feeding back a little. This is a question from Rudy. Rudy wants to know, what kind of guy was Evan Longoria when he was helping you guys with the game? Was he the kind of guy who jokes around?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, that's, you know, I kind of talked about this before, but that's part of the reason why we picked him. I mean, he was excited to be working with us, and he was really interested in the process. So, you know, we sat down and we played some games with him, and, you know, it was actually really fun to see him playing as the Rays and, you know, coming up to bat as himself. And, you know, he was certainly excited about the process. He's a fun guy to hang around with. You know, we spent a lot of time with him at various events, and, you know, we got to spend a lot of time just picking his brain on, you know, what he thinks about certain pitchers and what he thought about some of the features that were going into the game. So he's been really awesome to work with, for sure.
Cool. Here's a question from John from Game Flack. He wants to know, how will the winner of $1 million giveaway be determined, by achievement or other sources?
It's actually a pretty in-depth process. You know, we don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but we have a lot of safeguards in the game for us to be able to determine that, you know, that the perfect game was thrown legitimately. There is an achievement tied to it. There's some special things that will happen at the end of the game that will let us know that it has been done the way it's supposed to be done. And basically, people will have to record their game and send it in to us for verification. We're actually working very closely with Twin Galaxies to make sure that this is all done legitimately, and that it will be an official thing, and that the true winner will be determined.
Here's a question from Jeremy from Unnamed Gaming. He wants to know, or he's saying, I know that the classic control scheme is included in the game, but do they plan to ever phase it out completely in future games?
Was the question, are we going to phase out classic controls?
Yep.
No. Everyone has a different style of playing that they prefer, so we're going to leave those configs in.
Okay, here's a quote from William from Game Shark. He wants to know, is it a challenge to hit the strike zone even early in the game, or can you just paint the corners at will? I want to feel like walking AI hitters is a real possibility. And will the AI take strikes more often this year?
So, my favorite gameplay improvement has to be the usage of Inside Edge driving the AI, meaning we don't have to say, well, how often do we think that guy would swing at that pitch? We don't even do it. We just pull the Inside Edge reports and say, well, you know, it turns out that this guy swings 21% of the time when it's low and away. And so it's all coming from the scattering report. So guys are not swinging every pitch. They do take pitches. Many of guys that chase stuff, like Tejada and Pablo, you know, they're going to chase stuff in the game because they chase stuff in real life. But it is cool seeing guys get walked and walking people, you know, not, you know, unintentionally, obviously. It comes down to who you're pitching with and how much command you have of the right stick at the end of the day. So it's hard to say how often any individual do it. It really comes down, you know, who are they controlling, what is that guy's control rating, and how precise is this person on the stick. And even the most precise persons, they're gonna throw pitches where they don't want to throw them. And so there's going to be walks this year, which is really cool.
Okay, here's kind of a philosophical question, if you will, from Eddie over at GamerNode. You mentioned players complaining about ratings. With the major philosophical disagreements over baseball statistics and what is actually most important in determining player value, I'm curious to know, which types of stats do you primarily use to determine ratings? More modern statistics such as OPS, UZR, and VORP, or more traditional stats like RBI, fielding percentage, etc.?
Believe it or not, our ratings guy uses all of them. And he doesn't go into information overload, but he literally looks at everything until he finds key themes that not only sync up with public perception, like John touched on earlier, but for guys that the public doesn't know about, you have to look at every single stat. No one stat defines a player. So our ratings guy does a great job of taking in all data and making the best decision.
Okay. I'm trying to get some questions from people who haven't read yet. Here's from Juan. Aside from Evan Longoria, who else was considered for the cover of MLB 2K10?
I'm not sure if that's something that we can talk about. There may be some other guys we're talking about doing stuff with in the future. Aside from just our cover athletes, though, we have actually a whole set of guys that we've been working with here with this year, and you've probably seen some of our pitcher-batter videos that have come out. You know, guys like Justin Verlander, Felix Hernandez, who Sean was talking about earlier, Nelson Cruz, Jose Reyes, I'm missing a couple, Andrew Bailey from the A's, Rookie of the Year. He's actually someone who came in and did mocap with us. So even if a player isn't actually on our cover, we have tried to talk to as many of them as we can and work as closely with them as we can just to sort of help refine what we're doing and get some of their expertise that we can't get from not actually being out there on the field.
Okay, and actually I know we're going over right now. I'm going to ask one more question. Did achievements on the 360 match with the trophy list on PS3?
Yes.
1-1.
I'm going to throw in one more question here. You guys game for one more?
Sure, sure.
Sure, okay. So Chris from Operation Sports, he would like to know what extra work through testing the game was done to ensure big bugs don't make it into the final game like in previous titles.
Well, the QA department did a really good job. I don't know that maybe enough of the details that the question might be looking for. But, you know, QA did a great job on the game this year. They found all the issues, and all the guys working on the development team played the game every day and night, fixing stuff on their own as they saw it. And so I think having everyone engaged in playing the game against CPU and against each other really helped knock out a lot of sneaky issues that might not be easily found.
All right, cool. And I do want to thank everybody for dialing in and thank our spokespeople for taking some time out to hopefully address any questions you had about the game. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. Peace out.
Thanks for having us. Great questions, too.